You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on air. If you're like me and you've been seeing the nightly TV ads directed at men that say, feeling tired? Not like yourself? Ask your doctor about testosterone or low T as it's called. Or the ones that promise to end ED or erectile dysfunction. Well, what's going on with these ads? Is there a real medical issue here? And if so, why is there more of it lately? Well, with me to help answer some of these questions is Dr. J.C. Trussell. He's Associate Professor of Urology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Trussell. Thanks for coming in.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
So are these problems real, and why are we seeing more of it?
Yeah, these problems are definitely real. Low testosterone actually starts in the early 20s. So once a guy passes 20 years of age, there's a 1% to 2% decline in testosterone each year, such that when the typical man reaches 45 years of age, about a third of them will have a blood diagnosis confirming low testosterone.
So it's not a new problem. What you're saying is it sounds like it's just part of normal development?
It is part of our male biological clock. And with new products and new research, we've figured out easier ways of replacing testosterone. And since it's easier to apply a gel or a patch than to inject testosterone into your thigh or backside, there's more companies now that have done research, and the awareness is more prevalent. So
they've got more money to make, therefore, advertising. Are there other factors? For example, it strikes me that men are living longer, so there's more maybe interest and desire in remaining virile and sexually active for longer and longer periods of time. At greater ages.
You're exactly right. So as a man ages, and the timing of this decline is not set in stone, but it's a very interesting decline in the Leydig cell. So there's a cell in the testicle that produces testosterone. And as guys get older, the number of those cells, the number of those factories that produce testosterone decline in number. The output from each of those testosterone factories declines. And more importantly, there's a sponge that sucks up testosterone and makes it not available to the cells within our body called sex hormone binding globulin. There's, for some reason, an increase in production of this sponge. So there's less output from fewer cells within the testicle. And the output that is created is sucked up and becomes unavailable to our body by our body's increase in this sponge called the sex hormone binding globulin.
So those are real developmental or age-related factors that have always been taking place, nothing really new. Right?
You're exactly right. They've always been taking place, but your previous statement was right on. As we're living longer and wanting to be more productive later in life, the acuity of this decline is becoming more noticeable to men.
Also, don't you think there's less stigma attached? Because, I remember, I think it was... I'm trying to think of the politician who admitted that he had erectile dysfunction several years, probably a couple of decades ago. And that seemed like, oh, my goodness, that everybody was all in a flutter about it. But now people are talking about ED or erectile dysfunction as if it's, it's stable conversation.
It certainly goes hand in hand. Bob Dole did a big thing for
Bob
erectile
Dole.
Dysfunction.
That's what it was.
And from that point forward, men and doctors were much more at ease talking about sexual dysfunction. And the exact same thing, I go from sexual dysfunction, and one of the questions I ask is, how's your libido? How's your sexual drive? And if a guy says my erections are bad and my libido is bad, I try to improve both by oral agents like Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, and checking their testosterone.
Yeah. What about things like the ad campaigns? Do you think they are playing a role, though, in creating this concern?
I think it increases awareness and allows for families at home to encourage one another to get seen. I don't know how many wives would say, hey, you're a little bit tired in the evening, or your libido seems to be off. I certainly get those patients coming into my office as a man and wife, as a couple. And then I gave a recent talk a weekend or two ago, and I expected more women, but in reality, it was probably 80% men came to this talk on low testosterone.
So a lot of people are really aware of it. If you're just joining us, this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with urologist Dr. J.C. Trussell on WRVO, and we're talking about low testosterone. Well, my question is, one other quick thing occurred to me in terms of all of this flurry about it is, do you think there's something in the environment that could be playing a role?
We can't be 100% sure. There's certainly a lot of ideas. My wife packed me a lunch recently, and I said, well, it'd be easier to heat that thing up in a plastic container. And she said, no way. There might be products like estrogen-like products coming from that plastic. This has certainly not been proven, but estrogen, like testosterone, is one of the chemicals, if it gets in your body, can cause a disruption in your hormonal balance.
Make it very clear to us what exactly testosterone is and what does it do for us?
Testosterone is essential to make a fetus into a boy, into a male.
So it's a hormone within the body of a male.
Yes, there's a hormone, and there are androgen or testosterone receptors. And when these receptors get stimulated in a boy, they have puberty, they have testicle development, they make male organs. If the testosterone level's not high enough or the receptors are not stimulated as in a female, then they evolve into a female. More importantly, as you get older and past testosterone, past puberty, the testosterone is used by cells. Cells need testosterone to get stronger, like bones and muscles, to repair damage, and as I already mentioned, produce deeper voice, body hair. It does
all those so-called secondary sex characteristics. So it's muscles. It deepens your voice. It provides you with the size of your penis and your testes. All of that is you require testosterone for.
Correct, as well as fertility. The testosterone level within the testes is 50 to 100 fold greater than in the bloodstream. So by simply replacing a testosterone using a patch or a gel, it actually robs the testes of the intratesticular testosterone level, and it shuts down sperm production. So it has been studied as a form of birth control. There's also testosterone receptors in the brain, and with low testosterone, you can have a loss of spatial orientation.
Really?
And cognition.
Wow, that's very interesting. So how prevalent is this? And this idea of low T. I mean, you're saying it happens naturally, but for it to be a medical concern or a medical issue, how prevalent is it?
Sure. In general, there's about 40% of men over 45 years of age will be diagnosed with a low testosterone. That is generally done by a blood test, and the Medicare definition of a low testosterone is less than 300. The normal range is about 300 to 1,000. You might have a lab value at home, those listening, with a different number. The range varies based on the lab that is running the serum, running the test. There's also a Endocrine Society definition where less than 200 is definitely low. Between 400 nanograms per deciliter should be replaced. But over 400 nanograms per deciliter, replacing the testosterone is generally not indicated and will likely not improve the symptoms you're trying to fix.
So what are the symptoms?
Symptoms are loss of muscle strength, increased tiredness, loss of sexual energy or libido, loss of thinking clearly. There are some hidden ones like...
You said some spatial orientation problems?
Spatial solving problems. Exactly right. There's some the ones that you don't see at all or are hidden, like weakening of the bones. When I treat some older gentlemen, they may not be overtly interested in libido or sexual function, and I tell them, you know, it's important to keep your bones strong because the quality of life in a man who has a weak bone that fractures, that's called a pathological fracture, then falls. Those guys have a very bad quality of life after that pathological fracture, which occurred because the bones were weak.
So you have weakening bones, poor muscle strength, and you also, can you have fatigue?
Definitely
as well?
Have fatigue. There's something called an ADAM, A-D-A-M questionnaire that you can find online. And if you answer enough yeses on this questionnaire, it would prompt you to want to meet with your primary care provider or urologist to consider a blood test for low testosterone.
Okay, so I guess what I'm getting at is that it happens as a natural part of aging, but aging beginning even at age 20, there starts to be a decrease. When is it considered a medical concern? I mean, some of the other symptoms that you talked about, obviously we know erectile dysfunction, so your sexual prowess is limited and your libido is somewhat limited, but also are signs like depression, I mean, other symptoms like depression a factor as well? I guess what I'm saying is, when does it become so low that it creates all of these real clinical problems?
Right. It is a gradual decline. I'm not aware of any threshold below which you need to treat somebody. So if somebody has enough symptoms and their testosterone is less than 400, according to the Endocrine Society, we should consider offering treatment to a man. I just saw a guy who is interested in having a second child, about a year and a half from now. His testosterone is low. It was in the mid-200s. And one of his options was to do nothing, since replacing his testosterone would turn down the sperm production.
So in other words, that could actually have a negative impact on his fertility.
Yeah,
replace the testosterone.
Absolutely. To increase a testosterone in somebody who wants a child, we trick the brain using some medication to sense there's not enough testosterone. And by doing that, the brain sends down messengers to the testes to increase the testosterone production and to increase the sperm production. Putting on a patch to a guy who wants to have children, the brain will sense plenty of testosterone and actually turns off the valve of this hormone that goes to the testes and shuts down the sperm production.
That's very interesting. So it really has an opposite effect. So let me get this straight, because I'm a little confused. Bottom line is, when people come to you and are concerned of some of these symptoms, they're not strong, their sex libido is low, they can't perform sexually, they have they're fatigued or perhaps even depressed. First of all, how do you determine, especially with things like depression, that there aren't other underlying medical concerns like diabetes or something like that?
Yeah, we work very closely with the patient's primary care provider or internist. One thing for sure, when we for erectile dysfunction, for instance, if those guys come in, they often have depression. And if we treat the erectile dysfunction, their depression lessens. On the other hand, if their depression is treated, their erectile function gets better. So we do work hand in hand, or try to work hand in hand, with a psychiatrist, with an internist, with an endocrine doctor, a diabetic doctor.
So you try to really treat the whole patient and take a look at the whole picture.
Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with urologist Dr. J.C. Trussell, and we're talking about low testosterone and the impact it can have. So getting back to this idea of people who are young who have low testosterone, and that seems to be more of a pathologic circumstance, how do you treat it?
Well, we try to figure out why they have low testosterone. One reason, called primary testicular failure, is that their testicles have been damaged or aren't working well. So the brain communicates with the testes with something like gasoline. It's called LH and FSH2 hormones. And if the hormone isn't able to stimulate the testosterone production within the testis, there's something wrong there. And it could be they had radiation, they had a trauma, an injury to the testicle. It could be that the testicles are not responding or not normal. There's some patients who have genetic disorders where the testes just aren't normal. And then there's a secondary cause where the hormone from the brain is not adequate. There's not enough gasoline for the car, and we can try to replace that hormone.
Okay, so are there any risks associated with replacement?
There are some contraindications to replacement. Two big ones are hormone-sensitive cancers like breast cancer or prostate cancer. Steroids like the old-fashioned birth control pills when they had higher doses can increase blood clotting. So we check a blood thickness level, and we also check to make sure that there's no fluid retention that could cause pulmonary edema, lung swelling, or heart congestive heart failure.
So all of this really has to be done under a doctor's care, and it has to be done carefully, being monitored and working with perhaps a urologist and, as you said, perhaps an internist and dietitian or somebody who's really aware of your overall picture. It's not something that you just go out and take a medicine and forget about.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and so does New York State. I have to rewrite, like our narcotic, the testosterone prescription every single month. I can't write 11 refills to treat somebody for a year, so it does require a little bit of extra work. I do screen men at 1 and 6 months, and then if it's stable and there's no adjustments, annually for the safety blood tests.
In the little bit of time we have left, what do you recommend for people who are out there listening who think they may be a candidate for some low testosterone hormone replacement? Who should they talk to first?
I would check with your family doctor, and if they are able or willing and comfortable with this, they'll draw a blood test. And if they're not comfortable, and some may not be, I would have you come to a urologist, and we can do surveys, but more likely do a blood test. Best if done between 8 and 11 in the morning, because that's when the testosterone peaks for all of us.
And then you can get a definitive diagnosis and go from there with the variety of treatments that you outlined.
That's exactly right.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in. It's obviously a real concern and a real problem, and more people are talking about it than ever. My guest has been Dr. J.C. Trussell. He's Associate Professor of Urology at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.